Hey, it's Scott, and guess what? You're about to hear an ad. And that's both good and bad. It's good because ads are what make it possible for me to keep bringing you these episodes. And it's bad because, well, maybe you don't like listening to ads, and I get that. And the good news is, you don't have to. When you sign up to support the show, you get every single episode without any ads. Plus, you get all the bonus episodes. Yeah, did you know there are actually bonus episodes? And you can try it all for free just to see what it's like. If you're on an iPhone, just go to the What Was That Like podcast and at the top, click on Try Free and you're in. On Android, just go to whatwasthatlike.com/plus and try it out completely free. Once you've had the ad-free experience, you'll see why hundreds of other listeners are already doing it. But for now, here's another ad and then on with today's episode.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
What Was That Like? Contains adult language and content and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to What Was That Like? I'm your host, Scott Johnson. This is a show where we talk to regular people, people just like you or just like me, who have found themselves in an extremely unusual situation. We'll hear their stories and get inside their head because we all want to know, what was that like? More information about each episode at whatwasthatlike.com. Here we go. Today we've got a really fun conversation. Still a weird story with an extra unusual twist thrown in partway through, but it's a fun one and I think you're going to like it. And if you didn't already know, you now have the opportunity and ability to support this podcast through my Patreon at whatwasthatlike.com/support. So if you like this show and you want it to keep going, that's how you do it. I'm still working on how it'll work for different levels, so that's coming up in the near future. But in the meantime, if you like the show, check out whatwasthatlike.com/support. And I thank you. Today we're talking with Casey. She lives in St. Louis. And one day she sent a text message to her friend because she was looking to hang out with someone. But she sent that text to the wrong number. It happens to everyone, right? Well, what doesn't happen to everyone is this. Fast forward a few years, and Casey and Henry, the guy she accidentally texted, are now married. If there was ever a case of soulmates connecting, this is it. And this happened even though Casey is 30 years older than Henry. Are you intrigued yet? Just wait till you hear the rest of the story. Sorry about that, Paul Harvey. I love talking with Casey because she's just full of energy and she loves to tell this story. And that's something that's going to suit her well as she embarks on her new career, which we also talked about. And I'm pretty sure this is the only episode of my podcast where part of the guest's story is the question, did you poop today? So without further ado, here's my conversation with Casey. Do you find yourself being more careful about entering phone numbers now?
Yes. And you know, Matt, as it happens, I just saw on Instagram that a friend of mine was moving back from New York to St. Louis. And I went in my phone to send her a text thinking, and then I thought, I wonder if this is really her phone number still. So I said, hey, it's Casey. And I reached out to her because you never know if that number's changed or if you're going to get the wrong number.
That's right. Yeah. So many times now you look at your phone, you don't see the number, you see the person or their name. And, it could change. Well, let's get a little background how this whole thing happened. I'm so excited to hear this story because it's so great. Tell us how this started. You were in Denver looking on a work trip or something, right?
Right. So I live in St. Louis and I was working for Purina and I was in Denver for a big picnic thing that we were going to be doing in Denver City Park. I went early so that I could hang out with my girlfriend who lives in the suburbs. And the plan was that I was going to meet a coworker at noon at our hotel in downtown Denver. So my friend is driving me from the suburbs to the city. And I texted the woman that I was supposed to be meeting. And I got a text back from her that said, I'm still in St. Louis. And I was like, what? Like, I would have stayed with my friend and we could have hung out more, but now we're almost downtown. So Sonia went ahead and dropped me off. So I went in my room, I checked in, and then I just started reaching out to anybody else that I knew who was supposed to be there. And another woman was like, I'm still stuck in St. Louis now. I'm not even coming. Somebody else has said, well, I'm in Boulder. I'll just see you tomorrow. And I was just getting more and more frustrated. And I think that was a really big key to this whole thing, because if I had just been very calm and it would have just been like, hello and goodbye. Well, I finally thought of one person that maybe we had gone to a couple concerts together a long time ago. And I thought, well, I think I still have his phone number in my phone, so I'll reach out to him. And I did. But just because I wasn't sure if I had it right, I said, hey, it's Casey. And I was supposed to meet Maria at the hotel. So I went into that little scenario. I was supposed to meet Maria at the hotel at noon, and she's still in St. Louis, and I was wondering if you'd like to hang out. And I got a text back that said, I'm sorry, you've got the wrong number, but if I wasn't headed on my way to work, I would hang out with you. So this, mind you, this is a St. Louis number, okay? So I'm in Denver, but I'm texting a St. Louis number. And I'm a very expressive person, and I was horrified, embarrassed. So I write back and I was like, oh my God, I was afraid this was going to happen. I'm in Denver on a work trip and I'm trying to find some colleagues. So I get this response back that says, oh, interesting. I'm going to be driving through that area next week as I'm going on a solo walkabout in the Southwest. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? This person is like sharing something with me.
And he was in St. Louis, but he was also going to be in Denver.
Driving in a week because he was going to be going on the solo walkabout. And I thought that was an interesting thing for someone to do, A, and then B, to let me know that he was doing it, I thought was pretty cool. But still, at that moment, I said, well, it was nice to meet you. And I don't know if I even said, like, have fun on your trip. I think it was so hot there. I said, stay cool. Hung up. I got a cab to take me to find the Purina event. It was the setup day. Well, Denver City Park is sort of like the size of Forest Park. And this cab driver and I drove through all of it. We went every road and we couldn't find anything. And I'm anticipating seeing big Purina or big Pro Plan banners and all these people, couldn't find any of it. So the meter is racked up now to $35. And I said, you know what? Let's just go back to the hotel. Well, I'm such a connector, and I had not been able to connect with anyone. So my level of frustration is very high now. And the only person on the face of the earth I've been able to connect with is this stranger. So I wrote him back and I said, well, $35 later, I still can't find any of my Purina people. And I still don't have anybody to hang out with. As it happens, I went back to the hotel and then I started seeing all kinds of Purina people. And we were walking on our way to dinner a few hours later. And I got a text back from this person that said, You know, what you put your energy on is what comes back to you. Do you know anything about the secret or the law of attraction? And that's something that I have like lived by and read everything about. And I just was like, how is this person on the other end of that phone reaching out to me with something that's so valuable to me? And I just was like, yes, absolutely. It's like how I live my whole life.
Can you summarize kind of what that means?
Yes.
The law of attraction, for those that don't know about it.
Yeah. So it's like Wayne Dyer has a book called The Power of Intention. So it's like when you put focus on like something that you're interested in, that you want to start hanging out with people who are like-minded, and you can like write it down as a affirmation or just kind of put it out to the universe, and it'll respond to you with starting, you'll start to meet people who like those same things, or in The Secret, they sort of like have you, if you're interested in getting a red BMW, they say you can manifest it with, you know, the power of intention. I don't like the commercial version of that. I just kind of like when you're interested in, well, especially like Henry put it, in energy, you know, I was kind of going, oh, this is so terrible. Then it can keep being even worse and more terrible. However, if you focus on, oh, isn't this an exciting adventure? Then you get that as the energy that comes back to you. So that's the law of attraction or the power of intention. Yeah.
And he has kind of the same philosophy then, obviously.
Yes. Okay. And so he's like sending that to me on my text, and still we had no idea who we were at all. But
did you even know he was a male or female?
I didn't know. I knew nothing. At that point, though, I mean, I'm at dinner, and then he wrote back, I think, after a while, and he said, you know, can we share emails? Because there's like so much to talk about here. And so then we started emailing that night until I had to go to bed. And it was like, have you seen this movie? You know, did you see What the Bleep Do We Know? Have you ever read this book? And he was asking me the same things. So then the next morning, I think, and I have all these texts that I did screenshots of, but I think one of the first questions he asked me the next morning was, what was my Myers-Briggs personality type? That's another thing that's really important to me. And I'm like, who is this person on the other end of these texts that's like, knows my soul? So as it happens, for people who don't know about that, it's like introvert, extrovert, if you're a thinker or a feeler. So I'm an extroverted ENFP, intuitive, I don't remember now, and he's an INTJ. So that would be like the total opposites. But he looked it up and said, you know, that it says that we're a perfect match. So we had just kept texting. And during that early morning, it was like, I'm trying to figure out now if he's a man or a woman or how old he is or anything. And I asked him what kind of music he liked, thinking that that might give me kind of a little insight. And he did say electronic. And so I was like, because I'm like thinking, okay, he's going to work at 2:00 and he likes all these things. He might be a janitor or somebody, you know, he's like old. He's old and is like spending his later years interested in all these kinds of topics. So then he asked me how old I was, and I'm like, had kind of figured out he was younger at that point. And I told him that I was 25 in my heart. And he told me afterwards that as soon as I said that, he knew I was old.
The answer to avoid the answer, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? I'm 53. And he said he was 23. Now we weren't, there might have been a little tiny bit of flirting, but it was more like, just like having found somebody who likes the same things that you like. And we were just really excited about sharing all these things. And then we got further into music. We did finally like say, okay, I'm 53. He said he was 23. Then he told me at some point during that week that he didn't know what he wanted to do. You know, he was kind of in a stasis in his life where he knew he wanted to get moving, but he wasn't sure what it was. At the moment, he was selling paint at Lowe's. And so I love to inspire young people. And I said, hey, why don't we have coffee? Or maybe he even said, let's have coffee. Because I just thought, I've had the craziest life. And if I could inspire him, I've been kind of a meandering person. But once again, those power of intention things just happened to me all throughout my 20s, 30s, 40s, all these wonderful connections and jobs and things came together. And I thought I would share that with him. So we arranged not to speak, not to share a phone call or anything until we met on Friday.
And this is in St. Louis again?
Back in St. Louis. I came back to St. Louis and we arranged to meet. Now, I worked at Purina at the time and we did a lot of things with different fairs and events going on around the city. And it was the 4th of July fair, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday night was a concert with Third Eye Blind. And I asked him if he wanted a couple of tickets for that show. They were VIP passes. I was going with a friend. He could go with his friend. We'd have coffee and then we'd go our own ways. While we were at coffee, his friend canceled and so did mine. So I just was like, do you want to just go together? I said, do you trust me? I even took him back to my apartment so I could get changed. And then we just went down to, we went to the riverfront and went to the fair. And we
Before you get into that, let me ask you this.
We need to go back.
What was your, when you first met him, what was your impression when you first saw each other?
Okay, so yeah. I kind of tend to skim over some of the details. I'm sorry. So I walked into the coffee shop and he just had a bright, you know, kind of a happy face, like good teeth. And then he stood up and he was, that's one of the questions I asked him along the way was like, how tall are you? Because I'm almost 5'10". And he told me he was 6'2". So it was really nice to like stand next to somebody who was taller than me. And he has a tattoo on his forearm that's a molecular chain. And it's like one of the happy chemicals in your brain. So he's really into...
like dopamine or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. For, you know, I noticed the tattoo and I was like, oh, that's so cool. So we just really like felt a good vibe as soon as we each saw each other.
You must have been a little bit nervous though, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was. I was excited and nervous. The whole part of me that loves to inspire people was definitely excited. And I wanted to hear his story. He hadn't really shared a lot with me, you know, in that week prior.
So when you first met, were you, and going into this, were you kind of all mindset of mentoring or inspiring, or was there a tiny little bit of you that was thinking maybe this is something that could go somewhere?
No, I really wasn't thinking it was, I thought that it was going to be a mentoring thing and that we would meet on occasion and that I would probably give him ideas for other books to read or things like that.
Here's my hot take for today. If you see something advertised as a free trial, it might cost you more than you expect. At least that's my experience. I give up my credit card to try something for free for a week, then I forget about it, and now I'm paying for it every month without even noticing it. But when I signed up for Rocket Money, that ridiculous waste came to a screeching halt. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, and it helps you lower your bills so you can grow your savings. It lets you see all of your subscriptions listed right there in one place. When you see a subscription you're paying for but you don't want, do you really want to spend an hour on the phone trying to track down some customer service agent to cancel it? Rocket Money can help you get rid of it with just a few taps. They also give me this great dashboard so I can see what I've spent this month compared to last month. And they'll even try to negotiate lower bills for me by up to 20%. So I'm spending less and saving more. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features.
Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/whatwas. That's rocketmoney.com/whatwas. rocketmoney.com/whatwas.
I made a decision a long time ago. When I'm out riding my bike each morning and I cross paths with someone, I always smile at that person. And most people smile back. But I do it because even though it's a little thing, it makes a big difference for me and maybe for them. It's just a fact. Small actions can bring big benefits. In the same way, it's also true that taking care of your gut can support the health of the rest of your body. Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic benefits not just your gut, but your skin and heart health too. Seed DSO1 is part of my morning routine. If you can call it a routine, it's just two little capsules. And I feel amazing. It helps maintain the health of my heart, and it promotes regularity, which I can attest to. Sorry, that may be a little TMI there. For me, it's great that it's vegan, but it's also sugar-free, soy-free, peanut-free, gluten-free, and has no preservatives. It doesn't even need refrigeration. DSO1 has so many benefits, including the fact that it's backed by a lot of science, but I've barely scratched the surface here. What I can say, though, is that my body feels great, and I've got a promo code so you can see the benefits for yourself.
Trust your gut with Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/what and use code 25what to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/what. Code 25what.
I'll confess, sometimes I let my podcast playlist get out of hand and I get way behind. But there's one show that I subscribe to and any new episode goes right to the top of the queue. That's the Jordan Harbinger Show. That's because I never have to figure out, okay, is this one going to be interesting or do I wait for the next one like I do for some shows? Because Jordan's conversations are always a must-listen for me. He talks to fascinating people from any category you can think of. Authors, scientists, athletes, you name it. He's talked to undercover cops who posed as mafia and the actual career mafia hitmen. And the stories he gets out of these people, just incredible. In one episode, he talked to Paul Holes. You might know that name if you're into true crime. He's the former investigator who uses really advanced methods to solve cold cases, including the Golden State Killer. And another one I really enjoyed was with Sam Harris, an author and neuroscientist who promotes skepticism, and he doesn't mind taking on some seriously controversial topics like politics or religion. That one's going to make you think. Whenever a new episode of the Jordan Harbinger Show pops up, I already know it's going to be an episode that I'll enjoy listening to, and I'll bet you will too. For some episode recommendations, check out jordanharbinger.com/start. Or search for the Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I mean, like I said, there was a little bit of an underlying, maybe a little bit of an underlying flirt thing going on, but I just spend so much time with young people that age doesn't make any difference to me. And I really didn't think of it as being a date or anything like that. Yeah. And another thing that was kind of fun is that I met some of my friends there, and right from the beginning, nobody batted an eye that I was like hanging out with this younger guy. And Henry looked like he was about 17 at the time. So that was, you know, another thing that I guess when I was thinking about it, it was just didn't feel like it was going to be any kind of a relationship or anything. So we were watching the concert right up close to the stage, and about halfway through, he put his hands on my hips. And
so he was standing behind you.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh, well, this just sort of took another turn. And you know, I think if it was another 53-year-old woman, she might have turned around and said, like, hey, bucko, you know, I'm old enough to be your mother, and this isn't where we're going. But it's not who I was. And I just was like, okay, well, this is interesting, you know, and there was such good energy between us. So I think that it felt like it could be an interesting deal. So,
and I'm sure the music added to that too, right?
Yeah,
to
the whole environment. Yeah. I mean, and you know, it was very crowded. So we were like definitely touching that were, you know, squished, if you will. Yeah.
So it was a good concert then.
Yeah. And then we went from there. There's a really cool rooftop restaurant in St. Louis that overlooks the arch, and it was one of my favorite places to go. So we went and had a glass of wine, and at the time he was actually not drinking. But, you know, we just like hung out, and I think we went back to my apartment, and like we had so many things to talk about. It was just like endless, endless conversation just on thoughts about life and, you know, the books and philosophies and all kinds of stuff. So we did end up kissing that night, and then he went, you know, home, back home. So it didn't like explode, but it was definitely going somewhere.
So when did you see each other next after that?
So, okay, well, he was going on that walkabout. So Saturday he worked.
And what exactly is a walkabout? Is this just a hike? I mean, Denver's at high altitude.
It's an Australian term for like a solo hike, as you do a walkabout. And so I thought that was kind of cool that he knew what that term was anyway. So he was actually going out to the Great Basin in Utah or somewhere, and Denver, that area was going to be his halfway mark. So he had his car all packed, and we met at a coffee shop that I used to live over the top of previously. And this was the synchronicity that kept like coming together for us was just incredible. So in a small ways and in bigger ways, but I brought my computer along because I wanted to ask him how to do something. And so I went up to order the coffee and I said, "What can I get you?" And he said he wanted an iced Mayan mocha. And I had gotten there first, and I always drank Mayan mochas, and I got it iced for the first time in my life, that right before he got there. And I was like, seriously, this is what you just ordered? Because that's what I'm having too, you know? So
this is, it sounds like the script of a bad Hallmark movie, you know,
with
all
the,
you know, it's all there.
I mean, it just was all there. It was all there. And so that, you know, then we just sat and just talked and talked for, I think, at least two hours, but he needed to get on the road. So we saw each other on Friday and on Sunday, and then he was gone for like 10 days or 2 weeks. And he was really dedicated in his own self to like not having any connection with me or any of the rest of the world while he was there. But I'm trying to remember if it was that same night or the next day, I got a phone message from him that he said he loved me. So it was like, he just like felt so much. And he just sent me that I think I might have been sleeping. And so I woke up and got this voice message from him that said, "I love, you know, I just want to tell you that I love you." And I was just like, I played it over and over and over again. And here's another thing that's kind of fun and interesting is that for 6 years I was single. I had been suddenly dumped by my husband, and I was initially devastated. And then I was just kind of like doing my thing for like 6 years. And I had no real success or any kind of happiness with dating. And I'm a really enthusiastic, excited person about life. And Henry was the first person that I didn't feel like I had to hold myself back with. So I think it was just like fun to be super excited, because other guys, you know, you have to be like cagey and not be excited and in the dating world. So we were both just super excited. We did talk one night, and I remember like a whole movie went through before we ended the conversation. I think he was like at a hotel or something on that travel. And then we didn't really have much contact with each other after that. Until like way towards I didn't know where he was. I didn't know when he was coming back. And I left him a text message that I wished that he was coming back on this one day, because I had an extra ticket for this amphitheater where my favorite tribute band, well, it's his now too, was doing a Pink Floyd concert. And my plus one, actually it was Jamie, I think, who connected us together, couldn't go. And I was once again, like without a person to go to a concert with. And he loves Pink Floyd. And I was like, "God, I wish you were here." Well, it turned out he was just a couple hours away. And so as soon as he got home, he got cleaned up and headed to me. And then we went to that concert together. So it was, you know, it was just like bing, bang, boom. It happened like so fast.
That is fast.
Yeah.
So how quickly did it progress from there?
It was just like presto, I think. The hard part for me was knowing that when we were like in my apartment, especially like just And I'm only saying that because it was just the two of us in a room having these really deep and amazing conversations. And then if you walk out the door and you go to the coffee shop or the grocery store, and then people think that he's my son. And I was really, that was a big test for me. And I looked at these things as the test from the universe and not something to run away from. And so instead of me saying, oh, I can't do this, I was like, oh, I have to grow into this. So it took me a while, I would say 3 or 4 months before I really just started feeling comfortable going out with him and not feeling like totally self-conscious. I felt like maybe a woman would feel who at 53 was, had figured out that she was gay and was going to be, you know, coming out to the world with the fact that she's gay. And that's the only thing that I could liken it to, because I was just like, okay, this is a really huge thing for me to be feeling right now. So
you saw it as a challenge.
I just saw it as a challenge. I did. And right away, I brought him to see my dad. My dad's like 22 years older than his wife. And they didn't blink an eye. My mom didn't. My sister didn't. My brother and his wife and kids, nobody said anything. We both felt like over time that none of my friends or his friends or family, nobody ever to our faces said anything like, you guys shouldn't be together. We were just embraced right from the beginning. So that was like our opening, you know?
Yeah. Well, it kind of makes sense. If your dad or your family's already accustomed to a relationship with a big age mm-hmm. difference. So, and yours is not that much bigger than his.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That kind of makes sense.
It was nice. It was just nice. A funny thing is as you might imagine, I was wondering if I was going to be older than his parents. Think about that, right? They could be 40 something.
So how did that work out?
Well, as it turns out, they waited for quite a long time before they had him, and they are, so they're like 5 and 7 years older than me. And so we didn't really talk about how old I was at the beginning, but they were very, I mean, I was obviously way older than him, but he had changed and grown so much and was continuing to blossom in our relationship. So they just thought I was like sliced bread. So that was also very welcoming. And he's got an older and a younger brother that just are so loving and caring with me. It's been amazing.
It sounds amazing. And I love the way you kind of look at everything with looking at it from a positive standpoint. Has the age difference caused any issues at all?
No. We have more issues because of that personality difference. He's like meticulous and ordered, and I'm all over the place. And I always say that it's like having a border collie living with me that wants to herd me into like kind of the way that he wants life to go. And I'm like, I don't need your help or advice. I've like been doing okay on my own for all this time.
So that's the challenge for him then, is to avoid having to try to do that all the time, right?
Yeah. He's just not quite there yet though, I don't think. I always tease him and say, when you're 50, you're going to get all this stuff.
I've heard I think in an interview or two that I saw you on, you've referred to Henry as an old soul.
Oh, yeah.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
You know, I can. It's interesting because sometimes the way he speaks is almost like from a really long time ago era. You know, he'll use an interesting word or something. Well, he really is a genius. He's so smart and he's very introspective and he reads voraciously, usually from the internet, but still he's just constantly reading and he learns about everything. And he's taught me so much about finer things of music and art, movies, where I'm like, I don't even know what the words are to the song, but I love singing along to it. You know, I like how the music sounds. And so we're that different, but he's so old, and I'm a totally a young soul. So it's like with his wisdom and centeredness and just knowledge and things. Sometimes it feels overbearing, but for the most part, it's just like he's just, I don't even feel any age now. I don't feel any age. It's like we meet exactly in the middle.
Yeah, it sounds like spiritually or and emotionally, you're kind of at the same age, sort of.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. We do go to a relationship coach because we can fight about like the dumbest stuff and we can feel like we want to quit. But he helped us to see that we're actually so deeply, soulfully connected that the little fights are just something to work through. Like Henry went to Burning Man a couple years ago and we had some really intense conversations that we just grew so much from. And, you know, like our marriage counselor is like, I've had people get divorces because the husband wanted to go to Burning Man. And I was like, hey, go, you know, have all the experiences. And because I'm so confident in who I am and like who we are together.
Mm-hmm. From the time you first met, or from the time of that text message till you got married, how much time?
That was 3 years, I think. Yeah, he proposed at 2 years, and then at 3 years we got married.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, we were so together from the beginning that it just didn't even seem like we always knew that we were together till we got in a fight, and then it was like, I could care less if I ever see you again. You know, I want people to know that we're so real because it does sound like a Hallmark movie, but it's not. It's hard work. It's fights. It's challenges. It's frustrating, but we're both like in it and we just keep pushing and growing. So but it can get grimy, you know?
Hey, this is Scott. Did you know we offer a premium feed of this show that is completely ad-free and there are bonus episodes? Go to whatwasthatlike.com/plus or just click the link in the show notes of any episode to learn more and to sign up. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you can sign up right there in the app by clicking try free at the top of the episode list. And I hope to see you in the premium feed soon.
Well, everything we've talked about so far is an amazing story in itself. But there's a whole other new chapter
there
to this.
Isn't there? Yeah.
Which is just, I find just so incredible. Tell us about your history with your kidney issues.
Okay. So yeah, when I was in my late 20s, I found out that I had a kidney disease. And in 1995, I found out that my kidneys had failed. So I had a kidney transplant in July of 95, and it lasted almost 22 years. So I met Henry it lasted another 4 years from when we met. But it was interesting because he knew that maybe ultimately I might need another kidney transplant. And I swear in one of those very first days or first weeks, he said, well, I'm O positive blood. It's not a total universal donor, but for anybody who's a positive blood type, it's universal for A, B, and anything else that there is positive. So he had generously volunteered that. Well, so my kidneys failed. Last day of work was March 24th of 2017, and I went on dialysis on the 27th. Those dates just totally stick in my head. And I thought that I was going to have a transplant like my first one. I found out in April that my kidneys had failed, and by July, I had a kidney. No, I had challenge after challenge after challenge. And that was another opportunity for me to put that whole positive spin on things because it was, I'd get mad. And then I would come to terms with it, and I'd get mad and I'd come to terms with it. But it took 2 years, and we did test him, and turns out that while they, with kidney transplants, they like to have a tissue match, and there's actually six of them that can be a match. So my sister matched me all six of those tissues. So it was like getting a kidney from a twin. it still failed after 22 years, though. And then Henry got tested. And
oh, wait a minute. Your sister was the first donor?
Yeah, my sister was the first donor.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she couldn't give you her other one.
No, I know. Yeah. And my brother didn't match me at all. So Henry ended up almost being a better match than my brother.
This is what I find so incredible about this. I did an episode early about a local man here who donated. He donated a kidney to a stranger. And in talking about that and the statistics, people die waiting for kidneys. And just because you just can't find a match, there's not enough volunteers to donate. So for Henry to be what you've called a perfect immunological match just seems like the odds are astronomical.
I know. And I didn't even know that until that newspaper article came out, because I just, I'd kind of like thought, well, if he doesn't match me at all, is it okay? You know, it's just a blood match. And is it going to last 7 years or 12? And then I was like kind of discouraged, because I thought, gosh, I would never want to go through this again. At 72, I'll be viable, but older, and I don't really want to deal with dialysis at that point. But the transplant team is so certain that I'll be, without. So the immunological match means that I could have developed antibodies in my body that would try to fight off this new intruder, and my antibodies are not going, anything I have is not going to interfere with his kidney. So it should last. If I take my medicine and do everything right, it should last. I hope it lasts as long as I need it to, till 25 or 30 years or something,
How long had you been married before he gave you his kidney?
It's so hard to figure these. I don't know. I don't really pay that attention. I
guess you need to write out the whole timeline here, right?
I do. Yeah, for me being a date person, I guess it was like 3.5 years from wedding till the transplant. I think that this summer it'll be 4 years that we've been married.
So you've had the transplant recently then?
6 weeks. It was 6 weeks. When this comes out, it'll be 8 weeks.
And since he had surgery just like you did to give his kidney, sort of been recovering together. How's that gone?
It's been amazing. It was the best growing experience you could ever imagine. Now, it's just a miracle, too, how our pain was localized to kind of just like our abdomens. That's where, for the listeners out there, you put a new kidney into your abdomen. They're encased, our kidneys are encased in our skeletal system, so they're safe in there, right? So we don't want to you can't get it back in there. It's like way too difficult. So I actually have 4 kidneys right now. My old ones have atrophied. They're the size of walnuts. My one from my sister is in my abdomen. It's just easy to get to a blood supply into your bladder. So it just goes right in there, and then it's just, that's it. And then they've got nerve blockers now that they could just put right on our incisions. So when we came home, we have a really steep set of stairs in our house. Up and down the stairs we both were. It was like the pain was just localized to the incisions, and we had no other issues. So we couldn't drive, though, but everybody's like, well, how did you do? And did you have people to take care of you? But we were like, fine. It was bizarre. He was home after 3 days and I was home after 4.
Have you found, like, even in your recovery after having surgeries like this, that you are kind of synchronized in that?
Well, it was really interesting, because it couldn't have worked the same if he had given a kidney, or if he had had an operation and I didn't, or if I'd had an operation and he didn't. Because we were just so, like, we'd have progressing days, and then all of a sudden both of us would have one day where we couldn't hardly move, and we were both in so much pain. And it was like so synced. The first 3 weeks were incredible, because we were just like having the same thing. And then, of course, you get down to like, well, did you poop today? And, because we both were really constipated after the surgery. And it was just, it was just really kind of crazy how we were able to just have that same synchronicity. I kind of keep thinking about like when a poor turtle is on its back and trying to get up, because that was one thing that we each had really bad difficulty with, was trying to sit up from any kind of laying down when you have that much abdominal pain. So
it's just incredible, all of the factors in this story. I mean, to go from texting a wrong number to getting a kidney from that guy that, no. And him being your husband.
It's beyond comprehension. It's so funny because we've lived it the last almost 7 years, but when you kind of, you know, go as a drone and look down at it, it is like, seriously, that's how we met and this is what's happened. Yeah. But
gives you quite a story.
When you live it every single day, then you don't always think about like the insanity of it.
Is there any part of it that I haven't asked you about that you want to talk about?
Just knowing how much he loves me by doing this, although we're both really practical people, it's just so humbling. And I've had some challenges with my health just in the last few weeks because I had a bad reaction to one of my anti-rejection drugs. And he had to take me to the emergency room twice. And all the doctors kept thinking it was my heart or my lungs. And I kept saying, it's one of the drugs. I know it is because I'm really sensitive to medicines. And he's been just like right there with me through these things. When I just was waiting all night for a test, I finally told him to go home, you know. But his dedication to me is, it's so humbling.
You know, a lot of news stories, when they talk about this, about your story, they include the phrase, they were not really supposed to meet. But it sounds like you might disagree with that.
Yeah. And, you know, the other really neat thing is that he does not answer wrong numbers. He doesn't answer wrong number phone numbers if he doesn't have it in his phone. And he doesn't respond to texts, but he did. So... he knows exactly where he was driving on one of the local freeways, and he knows what bridge he was going underneath when he got my text from me, and he wrote back.
He only had to do it that one time.
Yeah, I know. There's so many times that I'll just say thank you for responding to my text, because it changed the course of everything.
Speaking of changing the course, you are about to embark on a new career. You want to tell us about that a little bit?
Thank you. I think my passion, I remember when I was in my 20s going to a daytimer class. Now, Henry had to ask me what a daytimer was. So
I remember those, sure.
Yes, I know, but maybe some of the younger people might not. And it's a calendaring system. But the people who taught those programs back in the 80s were dynamic. And I was like, I want to do that. I had been coordinating fashion shows and presenting fashion shows for many years back in the 80s and halfway through the 90s. And so I loved being in front of a big crowd of people. And I've just had the most amazing life. There's just been so many miracles that have just happened to me. And I really want to share them so that I can inspire people, so that I can inspire people to be their own advocate if they're having challenges with their medicines or with their health, or if they want to inspire young people to take risks and find their new career, you know? So as a matter of fact, that is something that we didn't really get into, but way at the beginning, Henry had bought a Mac, and then he was working on teaching himself how to code. And I was encouraging him to do informational interviews, and he got an informational interview at a small digital agency. And they said, we'll take you on for 3 months and we won't pay you, but you can learn as much about coding as you can. And at the same time, well, he had moved in with me because he was still living with his parents and his world was so small. And I was like, I got to open your world up, you know? So come and once again, like, do you trust me? Come with me. But I didn't want to like fund him. And he cashed in his 401k from Lowe's, and it was exactly the amount of money that he needed to live for 3 months. So he got that free internship, and then he taught himself how to code, and he's just done that so beautifully. So, you know, that's one of the things that I knew I was going to be able to do, was just encourage and be a just the kind of person. I always say to him, out of all the 9 billion people on this planet, I'm the one that believes in him the most. And he's so smart. And so if I can encourage another young person to go after their dreams and to set up informational interviews, or, you know, I feel the most alive when I'm in front of people and I can see their eyes and I can look right at them and speak to them and inspire them to do something greater than they ever thought that they could. So yes, I want to be a motivational speaker.
Yeah. You know, it's funny when I hear the words motivational speaker, I always automatically think Matt Foley. Are you familiar with him?
That is, no. Oh. Should I?
Do a YouTube search.
Okay.
Just on the name Matt Foley.
Okay.
It's a Saturday Night Live sketch.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, you look that up. You'll get a kick out of that.
All right, cool.
Casey, this is, like I said at the beginning, I love this story. I'm going to have links to how to contact you if people want to.
Absolutely. Yes,
and you're going to have a website for your speaking business, but I'll put all that on my website.
Yeah, right now I have a publicist that I'm working with, so she's kind of managing all those things. So we'll give you her information, and then people can find us on Facebook. We have a Casey and Henry website, so they can follow us, and we post our adventures. Like last night, we were at the Who. I do motivational Monday speaking. I mean, you know, just posts, and there's like all kinds of interesting stuff that we're putting there. So love to have followers.
You know what you really need?
No.
You need a podcast.
I know.
We can talk about that.
All right. A long time ago, I wanted to do a vlog, you know, like a video. Yeah. Cause the very first day that I thought of that, I wrote down like 100 different things that I could talk about. So. Yeah. All right. Here we go. I'm at the beginning of my road.
There's so many different ways to connect with people because of technology today. It's just awesome.
Well, this has been an absolute delight.
Yeah. I loved hearing this. And I really appreciate you sharing your story. We'll look forward to seeing where this goes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Every time I release a new show, I want to introduce you to people and stories that you just won't find on other podcasts. If you really like this podcast and want to make sure it keeps going, please consider supporting the show through our Patreon. You can do that at whatwasthatlike.com/support for as little as $1 a month. I'm just getting this going now, and eventually I'll have different levels of support with different rewards and all that comes with it. Your support not only helps me cover the cost of creating and producing and hosting a show like this, it also tells me that you like the content. So once again, you can do that at whatwasthatlike.com/support. We're on all the socials, so if you want to follow me or even contact me directly, all of that's on the website at whatwasthatlike.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode where we'll once again ask the question, what was that like?